This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Innal hamdalillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يحده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who came to teach us or explain to us the way that we should live our lives. Indeed, the Quran highlights the basic teachings of a human being, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the human being with certain faculties and certain abilities. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. Indeed, we have given nobility and rank to the children of Adam. We've taken him with his creation over the oceans and the rivers and the land, and given this human being a marked preference. That is us, the human being. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being in the best structure, the best mold. However, unfortunately, we find at times, in the same surah, in Surah At-Teen, we find ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Then man becomes the lowest of the low. What makes the individual to plummet down to become so low? Amongst the reasons why the individual becomes an individual, excuse the expression, a wretched individual or debased individual, is when a person begins to fall into the temptations that we are surrounded by. The meaning of al-fitna or al-fitan, there are many meanings of this word in the Arabic language. وَمِنْ مَعَانِيهَا, amongst its meanings that we find, is trials and tribulations. If you pick up any book of hadith, the end of Sahih al-Bukhari or Muslim, or the books of Sunan of Abi Dawood, Ibn Majah, Tirmidhi or Nasa'i, you find in general, you find certain chapters or books concluding by what is known as Kitab al-Fitan, the book of trials and tribulations, talking about the affairs that will begin to take place towards the end of time. And even the Bible talks about these affairs, the Armageddon, the final war between good and evil, the end of the earth, the collapse of the earth, etc., that we find. So that's one meaning of fitna, trials and tribulations. Testing the individual, as the Quran mentions in the beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut, Alif Lam Mim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. 29th chapter of the Quran, Alif Lam Mim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا. Do people perceive or think we're going to leave them alone? وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. And they will never ever be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, we're going to test the people who believe and to make clear and to clarify those who are the truthful believers and those who are the liars. So trials and tribulations are something that's placed upon the Muslim or even placed upon an average individual to make them excel, to become a better individual. So that's one meaning of fitna that we find. The other meaning of fitna is what possibly many individuals are involved in, is in the shahwat, is temptations. That's why the ulama mentioned there are two diseases or two distractions upon this Muslim ummah at the moment. Awwalan ash-shubuhat fil aqa'id, doubts regarding one's belief. You corrupt a person via instilling corrupt beliefs within the individual, or fallacies, or myths, or fables, or things which are not authentic within the mindset and the frame of individuals. Or you corrupt the individual via enticing them to come towards desires and temptations. And if you study the Muslim globe in great detail, you see it quite visible, that many of the average Muslims are very superstitious inside their belief, inside their creed. No individuals think that that is something incorrect. We've traveled through the Muslim lands and you see ajaib. You find strange things that even the modern world today, that Muslims begin to do. Things which go against the orthodox beliefs of a Muslim. That sometimes even non-Muslims begin to pose the question, that what is the distinction between us and you? What is so orthodox about your beliefs? Or is it just cultural practices that you have? Rather, we should come with a message that came inside the Quran and the Sunnah to remind ourselves that the most important element for a Muslim is to find the right belief. The belief towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the right belief towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the second element that we want to focus upon tonight is al-fitna, the temptations that we find that many individuals are involved in. The Quran mentions about individuals, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Many of the people around us, they know everything about the external world. Infrastructure, development, policies, whatever it may be. People are very accurate about what they want to do. So the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising these individuals. What they do is something which is very, very good. But then it begins to defame them. This is where many of us fail to understand. That some of us, we think the whole end is entertainment, is the world, is the good things of this world. It mentions, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They know everything about this world, but as for the hereafter, they are ghafiloon. They are heedless individuals. That's what the perception of the Quran is. That things of the dunya does not mean a person excels in a spiritual format. That's where what may be the perception around us. Many individuals, they think that the things of the dunya, materialism, will give me contentment, will give me peace, will give me good life. So that's the person begins to move from one practice to another practice until there are no limitations. It comes from a life of materialism, and it is such a word to animalism, that you begin to see certain actions and behavior of people. It moves from one spectrum, from one environment to another environment. Yesterday something was forbidden, it becomes permissible. Something is permissible, becomes forbidden. You continuously find a change of things which begin to take place. For example, what comes to mind, as we're going to talk about, drugs. Yesterday, drugs, if you look at the Class of Misuse Drugs Act in 1974, if I'm not mistaken, classification of drugs as a Class A, B, and a C drug. Class A being drugs like heroin, etc., cocaine. Class B, like marijuana, was declassified to become a Class C drug. The individual that you find, the professor, his name was even Professor Nutt, who had to resign from his position, now the government wants to take it once again from a Class C drug and move it back to Class B. But the damage has been done. Because they're trying to go that everybody around us is taking this substance, so we should may as well legalize it, make it accessible for people to do this. What does Islam say about these fitan, these trials, these tribulations, or these temptations which many of us are surrounded by? The Islamic law is based upon five elements. Maqasid al-Sharia, the intent of the Islamic law, is based upon five principles. If we understand this, a human being will be successful. Not just a Muslim, any human being, if they understand this principle, will be successful inside their life. We find Islam came, hifdhuddin, to preserve one's faith, wa hifdhul irdi, to preserve one's honor, wa hifdhul mali, preserve one's wealth, wa hifdhul aqli, to preserve your mind, your intellect, wa hifdhul nafsi, to preserve your own self. These are the basic general foundation of Islamic law. Anything which begins to become detrimental to your health, to your mind, to your body, to your soul, to your wealth, is classified as what is known as something which is haram, something which is prohibited. Anything which is good for your mind, your body, your soul, your wealth, your faith, your dignity, becomes something which is permissible. That's how simple Islam is. It's not rocket science. Not you to have a think tank or to go back to understand it. Something which is quite clear. Thus you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know what He has created? And He is the most subtle, the most aware. So the legislator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has highlighted that certain things are harmful for the individual and certain things are beneficial for the individual. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Perhaps you like something, but it is detrimental to you. And perhaps you love or you like something. Or perhaps you dislike something and it is good for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows and you don't know. That's what a Muslim begins to understand. That if certain things have been forbidden or allowed, don't use your intellect. Don't use the aqal. Don't use the rationale to judge. That if many people are doing these actions, I should begin to do these actions. The Quran mentions, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُدِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you obey most of the people upon the earth, they will take you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So most individuals around us, they're involved inside these temptations. What are the temptations that you find that many of the individuals are involved in today? Amongst the temptations that you find, awwalan, is al-khamr, is alcohol. The biggest threat inside this country, it's not terrorism, if you go back and study it carefully. The biggest threat inside this country is alcohol abuse. In London, the Metropolitan Police, if they had the law in their own hands, meaning they wanted to change certain things, you know what they would do? They would make it haram. It costs this government billions of pounds every single year of the controlling, the curtailing, and the problems. Nearly every other crime has been concluded, statistics inside this country revolve around the use of alcohol. It's something for a person to begin to think about. Centuries ago, Islam has prohibited alcohol. And even in America in the 1920s, from 1921 to 1934, guess what happened in America? They made alcohol haram. It was forbidden for some 13, 14 years inside America. It was haram to drink alcohol in public. Thus you begin to find the Italian mafia bootlegging liquor, bringing it into the country, etc. And then the drug cartel began to spread from there. But the essence was, it was something haram. And then the government had to legalize it once again because there was no iman. There was no faith. So you find this first fitna that you find, unfortunately, that as many of us Muslims begin to focus on different elements of our society, you find an average Muslim has been involved inside the taking of alcohol. The Quran is quite clear. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ فَهَلْ أَنتُم مُّنْتَهُونَ. Or you believe indeed the drinking of alcohol, of liquor, wines, ales, beers, whatever the name may be, is something which is impermissible. The throwing of divine arrows, gambling, sacrificing the altars, the stones, is the filthy handiwork of the devil. فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Stay away from it if you want to be successful individuals. Indeed, shaitan, the devil, only wants to create animosity and hatred via the use of alcohol and gambling, and to take you away from the path of Allah, and to take you away from the prayer. So will you not abstain from this action? Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth chapter of the Qur'an, verses 90 and 91. There's no more powerful verses than this inside the Qur'an to make something which is forbidden. That's if an ulama of Usul al-Fiqh have mentioned, Al-Ijtinaba ashaddu min at-tahreem. If the Qur'an says, Hurrima alaykum, this is haram upon you, is something severe. But when the Qur'an mentions, Ijtanibu, fajtanibu qawla zoor, stay away from indecent speech or false oaths, etc. Ijtinaba is far more severe inside the principle of Usul al-Fiqh, that the person has to stay away from it, should not get involved in it in any instances. Thus you find a hadith inside Sahih Muslim that 10 individuals are cursed. The one who crushes the grapes, the one who delivers it, the one who sits on the table, the one who takes the money, etc., the one who pours it. All of those individuals, as far as the Sharia is concerned, it's all forbidden. Any form of contact. That's why Muslims are very harsh about this, to stay away from anything. But unfortunately, many of our Muslims, what do you find? If you just travel down the road, fully licensed restaurants, running them, selling alcohol, and then complaining about there's no barakah, there's no blessings inside their life. And likewise, many of the youth, as I mentioned, because some of us, just like ostriches, don't really know what's taking place inside of society, many young individuals, Muslims, have drunk alcohol. For some of them, it becomes a normal practice of life. Sometimes we're quite ashamed that non-Muslims come to say, I thought it's haram. Yeah, food is haram for you to drink alcohol. They're telling them, non-Muslims are telling you, telling us, it's haram, it's forbidden inside your faith to drink alcohol. But yet we find that young Muslim youth become legless, become drunk, become abusive. And these are things that many of us Muslims don't want to tackle these problems. Even to speak about this on the minbar, talk about this inside the masjid, don't talk about these things. Most of our discussions at the masjid are what? About how much the chandelier costs, how good the carpet is, what time we should lock the masjid and keep the youth out the masjid. That's the reality. That's why most of our youth are lost. Most of our youth are totally lost. We are totally out of contact with what our youth are doing. The second thing that we find, related to Al-Khamr, is classified as Ummul Khaba'ith. The mother of all sins that opens the doors to all other sins is the taking of alcohol. The second fitna that we find, which is closely related to alcohol, is Mukhaddarat, is the taking of drugs. So some Muslims maybe find it naturally in staying away from alcohol, because most Muslims in general, they try to stay away from it in the sense that they know it's something forbidden. But some individuals come through the door, drugs. Drugs is not mentioned inside the Quran. The Quran doesn't talk about crack, marijuana, skunk, weed, ganja, spliff, dope, white lady, whatever names on the street may be. Tomorrow it might be tomato ketchup, I don't know. There's all you have to keep up with what the streets are saying. So they said, you know, in the Quran, it doesn't talk about it. Quran talks about liquor. It doesn't talk about drugs. So drugs are only makruh. It's only something which is disliked. So we could take drugs. This shows a lack of the understanding of the language of the Quran. The language that the Quran addresses, al-khamr is ma ghab al-aql. Al-khamr isn't alcohol, isn't whiskey, isn't ale, isn't beers. Al-khamr is ma ghab al-aql. Whatever clouds the mind, whatever intoxicates the mind, in your language, whatever buzzes you, stones you, rushes you, makes you go tipsy, takes your mind, your senses away, is classified as a khamr. That's even the word khimar, a woman wears over her head. The word is khimar, ma yughatti ar-ras, what covers the head and comes down. So anything, yushaghilu ar-ras, anything that takes your mind away, which buzzes you, stones you, is classified as a khamr. Ignore the names. The names are not important. It's the principles. Anything that makes the mind lose its senses is classified as something which is forbidden. But obviously you're going to find some smart Muslims going to say, well, I don't really take that much of these substances. You know, if you take large amounts of a bag of weed or an ounce or whatever it may be, then you lose your senses. If you take a small amount, nothing happens to you. What does the Sharia say about this? Does the Sharia judge each individual that I'm Jack the Lad, I drink barrels of lager, whatever it may be, or I take whatever it may be, nothing happens to me, so it's allowed for me? No, the Sharia doesn't look at that manner. The law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the general result. The general conclusion is a person who drinks gets drunk. Person takes drugs, lose their senses. So that's in a hadith inside Sahih Muslim. مَا أَسْكَرَ كَثِيرُهُ فَقَلِيلُهُ حَرَامٌ. Whatever intoxicates you in large amounts is forbidden in small amounts. It doesn't make a dissection that if I take small amounts of the substances, then that is something which means it's permissible for me to do. And thus you find drugs at the moment in the Muslim community is rife. Some of us don't even know. Recently, or a couple of years ago, you find there was a £40 million heroin connection smashed where? You know where? Just a few miles down the road in Bradford. That's the reality. £40 million worth of heroin connection. Most of us don't have a clue what's going on the streets. Many of our youth are involved in peddling drugs. I'm not a police officer, but give me 5 or 10 minutes. I'll tell you in 5 or 10 minutes down these streets who's serving what down these streets. It's not difficult to work it out. But that's the reality, that many of our youth are involved inside this crime, the traffic of drugs. Most of the violence that takes place inside our community revolves around drugs, about control of drugs, who's the big daddy, who's the big mafia, who's the Don Teflon, who's the Don Corleone, who's the real cartel. Most of it, study it in great detail. And most of us, some of them, young Muslims, they think they're Al Capone, that's who they think they are. They think they're Scarface, to this day, with a big suit, wearing a t-shirt, walking around, or some of them, they think they're Tupac Amaru Shakur. That's what some of most of our youth, they think. With their trousers hanging below their bottom, walking around the streets, thinking that they're black or thinking that's their culture. What happened to Tupac Amaru Shakur? Amaru means a shining serpent, gunned down at the age of what? 26, 27, shot on 5th of September, or the 7th of September, 1996, died 6 days later in hospital. All eyes on me, isn't it, Tupac Amaru Shakur? And you do get around, don't you? That's the end. Hail is the greatest rap artist that ever existed. Selling 75 million copies of his album, his greatest album being Machiavelli. That's what most of our youth are listening to, this trash, this rubbish. That's why Ray Howard, who shot a Texas sheriff, they said, what inspired you to shoot the police officer? He said, Tupac's track, Two Apocalypse Now. That's, you find a great link between the music industry, the listening to this junk, this gangster rap that you find that instills, because many of our Muslim youth, they're shallow. Point blank, they are shallow individuals. They have no inspiration within them. They have no commitments. They look at this and this is the role model they want to look up to. The average individual wants to be the individual who wants to earn money fast, wants people to look at them, to respect them for what? Drive around in the community around there. How can a man living in a council estate have a Ferrari? How can you have a £100,000 ride? Where do you get a £100,000 ride from, living in a council flat? Do you think we're foolish individuals? Do you think we're dumb individuals? You ain't done a day's work inside your life, and that's the type of ride you have. You're wearing all the latest garments, Dolce & Gabbana, Moschino, Calvin Klein, the best gold, the best diamonds. You knock out your teeth. Allah bless you with good teeth. Knock them out and place a diamond tooth inside your mouth. Then you find studding your earrings as well inside your ears, tattooing your body. Common practice among Muslims. Never existed for many of us Muslims as we were growing up. But this is the common practice of many individuals, that they want to follow this way of life and they think this is the way that we need to live our lives. These are all fitna that you find that destroying the individual, destroying the personality. That even you find that non-Muslims no longer look up to Muslims anymore. In a survey done in the Daily Mail, you find the best behaved individuals inside this community were whom? The Muslims. 10 years later, you find the highest populated individuals inside prisons from the minorities is whom? The Muslims. Highest populated individuals come from good families, come from good background, but following this fast life are being involved inside this fitna. And then trafficking it in the community around them and destroying the people around them. And then we, the average Muslim, turn a blind eye, pay no attention towards this, don't work towards the community to strengthen our community, to advise these people that this is something which is corrupt. And that's our task as practitioners and Muslims, is to advise people to stay away from ma'asi, to stay away from sins. مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ The apparent and the hidden sins. To remind them about that return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you find that the certain things that exist inside a society may not really help the individual to rehabilitate them. The only thing that rehabilitate people will be the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Thus you find, remind individuals, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا Fear that day whereby all of us will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no individual will be oppressed on that day. This is classified, as Imam Suyuti mentions that his works, Al-Itqan fi Ulum al-Qur'an, in two volumes, as the final ayah sent down upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fear that day whereby you all have to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no individual will be oppressed. These are the key elements we have to instill within our society. A fear of God. A fear and a belief that there is a day of recompense. There's a day of return. There'll be a day of infinite justice. There'll be a day whereby we'll be asked about our lives. And some individuals we find, the whole theme that of tonight that we've mentioned, the death wish, that some individuals may never ever make it to the end. So our task is to remind individuals, وَذَكِّرُهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ Remind them about the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change. A Muslim, an individual, is one that sees the good, sees the khair, and wants to change and come towards that goodness. That's all that we're trying to create within society. Some people may try to think it's upheaval or disturbance. It's trying to create what will make the individual the best individual as we began with. What will make the individual the ideal individual? Is there anything that can discipline a human being? The only thing is the Quran and the Sunnah. That's the only thing that will discipline the individual. That's, you find the greatest blessing, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي هَدَانَ لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guided us to this. Guided us to what? To Al-Islam. That is the ultimate blessing. Islam, that you find at the moment, is the fastest growing way of life. No matter what anybody says, after all of the atrocities that have taken place upon this earth, upon this planet that you find still more and more people are reading the Qur'an, more and people studying the Qur'an, more and more people are becoming Muslims. So what? Because there is an attraction of attracting the people. As we as Muslims begin to stray away, as the Qur'an mentioned, that you become individuals, stray away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create a new form of people who will love Allah, who will love Islam, who will be those individuals. We become the culture of Muslims. Our practice of many of us Muslims, culture of Muslims. Being a teacher for 7 years in various different Islamic schools, we had to go and conduct various assemblies in non-Muslim schools. What do you find? Predominantly the non-Muslims say, thank you, Mr. Khan, for telling us you don't worship the black box. 80% Muslims inside our school, yet they don't even know, the head teacher doesn't even know what Islamic faith is. Ask the average non-Muslim. What do they think Islam is? They think it's a big turban, a red dot, a samosa, a biryani, pakora, papadoms. Ask an average non-Muslim. And who's to blame? You know who's to blame? We're to blame. We are to blame because that's what our life has become. We think Islam is cultural. We don't display to them that this is what Islam is. We're giving a cultural message. So an average non-Muslim thinks that's what it is. If you ask an average non-Muslim, what do you think is inside a masjid? You know what they'll tell you? It's a factory of bombs. How many non-Muslims have gone into a masjid? How many times have we taken the task to invite a non-Muslim to a masjid? How many times have you given a non-Muslim a copy of the Quran? Copy the Quran? In the English, isn't the Quran. But even some of us become so cordial, oh, don't give it to them. They're non-Muslims. They're filthy. They're napak. They're impure. This is our mentality. Then you want to then say that, oh, why should they think bad of us? Of course they should think bad of you. Because you've lived a cultural life. You've created that image that this is all that Islam is. If you want to give the right image of Islam, then teach them this is what Islam is. Many of them think, if you ask an average individual, they think the Prophet Muhammad was sent to whom? Only to whom? To the Bedouin Arabs. Read through their literature. Read through their books. What does the Quran say? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ We did not send you except for whom? A mercy for whom? For us? For the Arabs? For the Pakistanis? Who did they come for mercy for whom? For all of the worlds. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ We sent you as a warner. I want to give glad tidings to whom? To every single individual. That's what our message should be, a global message. That's why they're doing these documentaries. It's a shame upon these people living in this community inside Bradford. They can display, this is what it means to be British and to be Muslim. Shame upon the Muslim community in your community. Shame upon you. Shame to all these masjids. How can you have a Muslim sister come in and going inside a pub, pouring a drink? We're British. We know what the culture is. We know at the moment that Man U are on the top of the table, or maybe Man City 1 point behind them, and Arsenal are chasing them, Tottenham are chasing them. We know the culture, what people eat and they drink. Does it mean the British have to pour a drink of lager, have a Union Jack around me and get drunk and say that's British? I know everything about the British culture inside this country. I've lived all my life here. I know what their feelings are, what they believe in, what they look up to, what their culture is. So does it mean I have to do these actions to prove that I'm British? It's shame upon this community. That you let these people, individuals, represent what you are. This is what Islam is. That one of the Muslim sisters is going to a pub and pour a drink. And even then she gets cursed and reviled. You're not one of us. Think about that deeply. That's your community. This is your community. You turn a blind eye and let the documentary go out. And everybody visualize this is what Islam is. Should make us wake up and think. If you believe in Islam, then give the teachings of Islam to these individuals. People are in a state, they're in a state of loss. In this country, approximately 6,000 people commit suicide on a year, on an annual basis. That's approximately, you find they boast, these are the lowest figures since 1973. That's something to think about. In the blessed United States of America, you find annually 60,000 people commit suicide on a yearly basis. And not to sound too gruesome, the common form of suicide is to take a double barrel shotgun and blow your brains out. It's got nothing to do with Osama bin Laden. It's got he's dead now, finished, he's gone, end of story. It's got nothing to do with Taliban, nothing to do with Saddam Hussein. Got nothing to do with them. One in three American teenagers has contemplated what in their life? Suicide. Every 17 minutes, someone commits suicide in the blessed states of America. That's something to think about. If there is a great life, I believe there's an American dream. But I soon discovered, guess what? There is no American dream. It's the American nightmare. That's what it is. And that's why we have a famous Arab proverb, go and fix your own home before you fix someone else's home. We're happy living in a shanty town. Sitting down on the floor, eating chapati, passing time, drinking tea, sitting there on the carpet. That's our life. We're happy. We're happy with that. What makes you think to come there into our countries and teach girls to kick football and say, oh, that's we're teaching them education. We don't even have a school for boys or for girls. We don't have a school for anyone. There is no school. Go to the country. There is no school for anyone. So this is life. Or to install a satellite dish and say, we gave him access to the world. Big deal. We were happy centuries ago. We're still happy. We have a simple life. We have a happy life. We get on with our life. So you know what? Leave us alone. Let us squabble amongst ourselves. Let us kill one another. We're not civilized individuals. Let us kill one another. We were killing one another before. We'll carry on killing one another. Let us have our good life that we believe in. So we say, live your own life. Take care of your own people. At the moment you go to America, what do you find? You find poverty to such a degree you cannot even imagine. There's people begging on the streets. Come to London, there's homeless people outside on the streets, lying on the streets, begging for money, asking for food, asking for drink. So why are we worried about other individuals? But the only way we're going to give that message to the people around us is we make the positive change, the positive steps of change, to see that, look, there is a benefit in a person coming towards Islam, and likewise towards the Muslims as well. What are the benefits? The Quran mentions quite clearly, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will never change the condition of people until they don't change their own condition. And thus you find partially the reason why we are in such a corrupt state at the moment, many ulama mention, is due to our sins, due to the type of life that we live. As the Quran mentions, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Corruption has appeared upon the land because what man has sent forth with his own hands. You may taste the fruits of your own corruption, of your own actions, and then you may begin to do what? You begin to repent back and return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the reason why we are in a pitiful state and a bad state at the moment. We have to take positive steps to try to change ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never change the condition of people till they don't change their own condition. Likewise, you find the benefits of change. All of us want to change, become better individuals. Some of us may have a New Year resolution, some of us at the age of 40, some of the age performance of Hajj, whatever it may be. Every Muslim, every individual wants to change, the human being wants to change, wants to become a better individual. That change, that feeling we have, should be developed quickly inside our life. And like we find many of us Muslims, Quran mentions, وَتَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. Many Muslims, they know what's halal, what's haram, what to stay away from. They think, I'll do my bad life, and then at a later stage, I'll repent, and I'll become a good individual. That's what many average Muslims, they know they're doing haram. But that's what the Quran documents, talking about the brethren of Yusuf alayhi salam, that we're going to either throw him, kill him, or throw him into the well, then afterwards we'll repent, we become good individuals. And that's the average Muslim, the same methodology, the same understanding. I live my bad life, and then somewhere along the line, I will repent back and become a good individual. So when I've performed Hajj, or I've done all the haram in my life, then I start becoming a better individual, as they say, begin to fix my life up. But as I mentioned, for some of us, and some of these individuals, that time may never ever come. The person, death may come upon that individual, and their life is taken. Yes, we know that every single individual who says, La ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah. Whoever says it will enter into paradise. But you know, this isn't Bollywood or Hollywood. All of us, we know what the answer is. But have you ever noticed that a Muslim, whilst they're dying, has said the kalima? It's something to think about. We all know what the answer is. Whoever says, La ilaha illallah, will enter where? Into paradise. But have we seen physically, how many times has it realistically happened? How many times have we physically seen in our lives a person finish their prayers or inside their prayers, passes away, person reading Quran, making dhikr, doing a good deed? How many times, in all honesty, have we seen it that this begins to take place? Very rarely it happens. Because most individuals are living a path of disobedience. We've taken it for granted. Many of us Muslims take it for granted. I'm a Muslim. You know what? I've got a free ticket into paradise. Who said so? That's not the creed of Ahl Sunnah. That's not the creed of Ahl Sunnah. You can just stroll into paradise. I can just walk into paradise. Indeed, it's your actions. Your belief and your actions play a long part. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive any individual he wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Forgive whomever he wants and punishes whomever he wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do you forgive so-and-so? Why do you punish so-and-so? But sunnah Allah, there's a sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is laid out. There are certain things you have to do. You try to do them, there's more chances of that individual being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you stay away. You live a life of ma'asi, of disobedience, of sinning, of vice, of doing haram actions. And then you say, well, because I happen to be in the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad, that's enough for me. That's an average Muslim thinks that, unfortunately. It could be possibly true that that blessing is there. We're not denying that fact. But the average individual becoming an individual just relies upon that. That will suffice me to enter me into paradise. And thus, we shouldn't become such Muslims. Just like we use in this dunya, don't we strive, don't we struggle? Many of our parents, why did they come to this country? They came here for the honeypot. That's what we came here for, in all honesty. We never found the honeypot. Well, we did find it, but we're lost. We've soaked into that honeypot. We don't know what we're doing now. We've lost our ethics. We've lost our faith. We've lost our characteristics. We've lost our behavior. So you know what? To hell with all the money we've gained. To hell with all the money we've gained. It doesn't mean much. If you've lost the core principles of a human being, this money doesn't mean anything. So that's our task, is to remind these individuals to return back swiftly back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The benefits and the fawaid are there. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If the people of the village, they believed, we'll rip open the heavens and the earth for them. The blessings will come down from the earth, and come down from the earth, from the sky and from the earth. But these people, وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا. These people, they deny. These people, they rejected. So the benefits of faith and of taqwa are that blessings will once again come into the life of that individual. The person begins to find tranquility and peace. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Indeed, in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do hearts find tranquility and peace and rest. That's where a Muslim finds peace and rest, tranquility inside their heart. Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps or brings about that peace and that tranquility. Whoever turns away from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Quran mentions, وَمَنْ أَعْرَدَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى وَمَنْ أَعْرَدَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ. Inside Surah Taha that we find, whoever turns away from my remembrance, the person who turns away from remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَى. This individual will have a wretched life. What does it mean to have a wretched life? There will be no peace or contentment inside their life. As a young individual, I used to, for many days, used to sit inside the library. And I used to read the books of many individuals, autobiographies, biographies, many famous people, reading about their life, about how these individuals, celebrities, became rich, how they gained power, gained fame, gained wealth. But every time I began to read, I began to discover one thing. Guess what? These people weren't happy. I used to begin to think, you possess millions and millions and possibly billions of dollars, millions of pounds in your life, but you're not content. What's happened? So wealth does not bring contentment in the life of the individual. Whoever turns away from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have a difficult life, obstacles placed inside their life. And then comes the second promise. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. We'll raise that person on the day of judgment, kafif, in a state of blindness. قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى. Oh my Lord, why have you made me blind? وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. But on this earth, I could see, I could visualize. Why are you blind on this day? Because upon this dunya, we showed you our signs, but you turned away from them. So that's today. وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. That's today, you've been made blind by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the Quran mentions, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. Those individuals, don't become like those individuals who forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will make them forget their own selves. Those individuals are the rebellious individuals. They're not the same, the companions of paradise and the companions of hellfire. Indeed, the companions of paradise, هم الفائزون, they are the successful yani individuals. So our message to our respected brothers and sisters and those individuals who are involved inside these fitan, these trials, these tribulations, these temptations inside their life, this is going to benefit your own self. It's going to make you as an individual a good individual. It will make you a good citizen, a good person inside society. Strengthen your relationship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your relationship towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your relationship towards your parents, everybody around you. That's what Islam will do. That's what it will teach any other individual. And the person will be given the goodness of this world, and likewise the goodness of the akhirah as well. As the Quran mentions, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your fair share, your portion of this world. What is the good things of this dunya? As we mentioned, الْمَالُ وَالْبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Children, wealth, are the good things of this dunya, the beautiful things of this dunya that a person aspires to have inside their life. Thus Islam talks about children, أَقُرَّةُ أَعْيُنْ, are the coolness, the tenderness of one's eyes. The upheaval inside the society at the moment that you find, how children behave towards their parents, the people around them. Once again, if you go back and study the crime statistics, you find in London, one main reason why there's so much crime among certain communities, certain individuals, there is no role model. There is no father. It's a broken family. It's a single mother. It's a single parent. There's no fatherly figure to look up to. So that's mainly these individuals. The streets begin to teach them. The streets become their role models. And as they begin to live a life of vicious crime and behavior, you find, once again, people talk about the hardships or difficulties we're facing. The amount of people that have been stabbed in London at the moment goes beyond. Every year, it's rising, every single year. The age of the people who are using these knives or using these weapons goes younger and younger. Going down to the age of 15, 16, 14, 13 years old. Young individual getting into an argument or getting into some form of misunderstanding comes back and does what? Stabs the person. This is how futile life has become. That's why certain areas, they're discussing at the moment on the radio, you may have heard it. Are there certain areas of London you cannot walk? Yes, there are certain areas. At a certain time, you would not go into those areas. Politicians may try to pretend, no, they're all safe, we'll have more cameras, we'll have more police, we'll have more of this. There are certain areas that you will not go down those streets at a certain time. Because why? There's a dangerous element. What will begin to help individuals inside society? What will help the community? Will we begin to remind ourselves? Likewise, we find, مَنْ رَأَ مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا. Whoever sees an evil amongst you, if they have the ability to change it, it doesn't mean you take the law into your own hand. But if you have the ability, you change it with your hand. If you cannot do so, then at least speak out against it. Let people know this is evil, this is something bad, this is something which is corrupt. There's core elements that we all agree upon inside the society, with something which is incorrect. And if not, at least despise it inside your heart. وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And that is the weakest element of iman. This nation is like a ship. We're all traveling on one great big ship. Somebody's on the lower deck, someone's on the middle deck, someone's on the upper deck, someone's scrubbing the deck, someone's cutting the food, someone's steering the ship, someone's pulling the mast. We're all together. That's what we are. We're traveling together. We are a reflection of one another. No one should think, I'm separate from you, you're separate from me. And as you find this parable, Hadith of Safina, you find the people on the lower deck, they say, you know, it's too difficult to go all the way upstairs and throw the bucket and collect the water and then come all the way downstairs. So some smart Muslim says, you know what, let's just drill a hole here underneath. They drill a hole, water begins to gush in, and what happens? The lower deck drowns, the middle deck drowns, the upper deck drowns, فَهَلَكُوا جَمِيعًا. Everybody drowns. You know what this parable is about? About ordering the good and forbidding the evil. If we all begin to turn a blind eye, we're all going to drown. There's no distinction. That some of us think there's a distinction. We are all drowning at the moment. In a general figure, you find Muslims, we are drowning at the moment. In the way, in our perception of life, and many of our youth, they are drowning in the actions that they do. So thus we have to go back to these core teachings of reminding ourselves, reminding our Muslims around us that to stay away from these fitan, these trials, these tribulations, to repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make yourself become a better individual, firstly for your own self, and your own belief, and your own creed, and you return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a purified state. That's the intent of a Muslim. A Muslim here isn't here upon this dunya to gain plus points, or brownie points, or to despise, or to look down upon another individual. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِّلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. The role of a Muslim is to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to encourage people to do righteous actions, and submit that I am amongst the Muslim, the first and individual submit. That's the task of a Muslim. Call to khair. Call to goodness, whoever you see around you. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرًا أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You're the best people ever raised up. You order the good and you forbid the evil. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to stay away from these sins, مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ, whatever may be apparent, whatever may be hidden, to remind ourselves, remind the people around us to come towards a path of khair and goodness and to repent and to become good individuals and to see the bushra. لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Those individuals have the glad tidings upon this earth and likewise inside the akhirah as well. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بارك الله فيكم.